Hello friends, I'm here with chapter number 3 titled as Training Needs Assessment and Analysis. This chapter is focusing on what are the needs, the requirements for which a training has to take place. Training is not done just like that, so we need to know what's the purpose of the training. And we need to assess and analyze what would the training need to be done, in what direction, and what should be the outcome of the training. So that is what this chapter is throwing some light on. So let's get on and try to see what it is. The objectives of this chapter are put in this slide. Understand the meaning and significance of need analysis in training. It is also popularly called as TNA, Training Need Analysis. Training Need Analysis. Understand the various types of training needs. Know the components of training needs assessment. Understand the process involved in training needs analysis. Know the various methods for collecting data for a training need analysis. So let's get on with the nature and importance of training need analysis. So the very first bullet point tells us training need analysis is a breakdown, or the breakup I would call it, of an identified need to determine its basis and causes as well as the relationships among identified needs. I'll repeat. Training need analysis is a breakdown or the breakup of an identified need to determine its basis and causes as well as the relationships among the identified needs. Underline the words breakdown or breakup, as I said. Underline the word basis. Underline the word causes and underline the word relationship. So there are two things, basis and causes. What is the basis for which the training is being taken? The basis could be something like the company wants to introduce a technology and they would like to have people with superior skills. So that could be the basis. The basis could be the company is going for a merger or an acquisition, because of which they would like to have their people, their employees, go through a different type of a mindset, a change in the behavior from B1 to B2, which I spoke in the earlier slides of chapter number 1. So this could be the basis, the purpose, okay, the focus. Causes. Causes is the outcome. Why do I need to do this? What's the cause of a training? There's a gap. We'll discuss gap later. So existing skills are X and I would like to have Y. So this is the cause of the training. I want to upgrade from X to Y. And these two, as you know, any common sense, a person with common sense can tell you these two are related. That's where the relationship comes. So what am I doing? I'm trying to understand what's the basis, breaking it down, understanding the nitty-gritty of the basis. The company is going through a merger. So in the merger, what happens? People from company A, company B to come together. And there'll be two different types of cultures merging. So all this analysis we need to do. Basis. Causes. What will be the outcome of it? When two cultures come together, there'll bound to be some clashes of ideas. There'll be some sort of a conflict resulting in coming down of the efficiency of the merged companies. So these are the things that need to be analyzed properly. So that we say that to see that this does not happen, we need to do a training. This is point number one. Point number two says needs assessment means the identification and prioritization of training requirements. Underline two words, identification and prioritization. I need to identify what are the training requirements. Do I need to train people at the middle management level? Do I need to train people only for this particular aspect of the mergers or acquisition? How to absorb it? Only initial stages? So this I need to identify. Then there'll be a number of things I need to address in the training. So I need to prioritize it. Which should come first? Which is the first one I take? The one which is going to make a major impact will be number one. The one which is going to make the second impact below major, that is number two. So you should prioritize the training requirements A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Accordingly, conduct the training. Priority one, priority two, priority three, etc. Point number three. Identification of training needs starts with the determination of knowledge, skills, essential for maximum effectiveness of an organization. We always talk about KSA in training: knowledge, skills, and action. So knowledge and skills are important. What is knowledge? It's just an understanding about something. I have a knowledge about how a car works. The car has got an engine, you have to put a fuel, etc. etc. That's a knowledge. Gyan, as we call it. Skills are something that are doable. The knowledge has to be put into practice for some movement ahead. That is skills. And these two have to be understood and identified before the training starts. So that is one of the training need. What's the purpose of doing this? To ensure that there's no disconnect between knowledge and skills. You may be an M.Tech in organic chemistry, organic chemistry, for example, and then you may not have the skills to do an R&D job. So there's a gap. Now I want to see that both of them are merging together. Ultimately, any training has to take you to a new behavior. A training is not about gaining more knowledge. A training is about knowledge which leads you to actionable behavior. And there we need maximum effectiveness, right? Fourth point, needs assessment is a process by which the needs of the HRD are identified and articulated. Needs assessment is a process by which the needs of the HRD, human resources development, are identified. Human resources in an organization need to develop from time to time, month to month, year to year. So we need to understand how the human resource development needs are coming up with every month, every year going ahead. And we need to put them down properly, articulated. So continuing further, needs assessment can identify one, goals and its effectiveness in reaching these goals. Obviously, you must know the goal of a particular endeavor you're taking up. So you have to identify the goals and how its effectiveness can be achieved. I must see to it that the goal is completely achieved the way it is required. Point number two, discrepancies or inconsistencies or gaps between employees' skills and the skills required for the effective job performance. A particular job requires a certain skill, whereas an employee does not have that skill. So that gap is what is determined, discrepancies or deficiencies or gap. Number three, discrepancies between current skills, existing skills, and the skills needed to perform the job successfully in the future, for tomorrow, for day after, for next year. This is a part of what I called in the earlier chapter as OD intervention. Creating skills today which are required for tomorrow. I may be self-sufficient, I may be very good in doing what I'm doing today, okay, but then the company is planning to put me into a career path. So the company wants to push me into a skill which I don't need today, but I have to create the preparatory today. So what they do is they push me into creating a skills for the future. That comes under training need analysis. I've got to analyze what sort of skills this person has got as a potential which can be drawn out. Okay. Taking it further, needs assessment determines who requires training, what kind of training, and why the training. Self-explanatory. Some people, who are the people who require training whenever there's a training need gap? What kind of training? It can vary from person to person. Why the training? Because the person is not learning it on the job perhaps. So this who, what, and why is addressed here. Training need analysis are also known through other terminologies like training need assessment, training needs measurement, training needs evaluation, training needs determination. These are nothing but English terminology jargon. So when you come across these things, first ask yourself a question. What is it? You should ask the question to the concerned person who is telling you this. You may walk into a company, that HR person may say, I need to have training need determination. You must have never heard this expression. So you have to ask him, is it training need analysis? And ask the question. From the way that person explains, you will come to know what is training need analysis. They are giving it a different name. And every company gives its own name. Remember that. Every company has got its own jargon for the same process. So you must know what is the company jargon so that you relate it with the standard name. You got it? Fine. Third point, training needs assessment ultimately has to determine the future course of HRD activities. Already mentioned earlier. The next point is, in the training need analysis, the causes of failure or non-performance are examined so as to see whether the inadequate and inappropriate training was one of the reasons. So when I'm doing a training data analysis, I've got to make out, was it because of bad training? Was it because the training did not address properly that there's a non-performance? This is very common. If the trainer is not skilled enough, if the trainer has not done a training need analysis, if the trainer doesn't know what in what direction to go, he takes a peripheral information, then this is bound to happen. Now, as a trainer, I speak for myself. When I go to an organization and people are telling me, I want this, I want that, I ask a lot of questions because I want to be as near to them in what they have to say as they want me to explain. So the more questions the trainer asks, the clearer and nearer he'll be to the training that is expected by them. Because people use words and expressions, and we think that the words and expressions what they are using is the same as what we think. The funniest thing about communication is the meaning of a word for you is different meaning for me, same word. Now we've got to get a parity, we must come at a meeting point. This meeting point in many cases doesn't happen, as my observation. In one company they told me, we would like to have a conflict management training. Now if I take conflict management the way I see it, I would have given a proposal. I waited, I asked them, what exactly do you want in a conflict management training? Then when the lady started explaining to me, it turned out to be basic communication training. It was nothing to do with conflict. But she saw the conflict that was going on and she immediately converted into a conflict management name. So this is one of the pitfalls. And because of this, what happens, either the trainer or the company or all of us, we get into Chinese whispers. A says, I want this. When it goes to B, it becomes something else. And finally, when it comes to the trainer, it becomes totally different. Now this is to be avoided. So we need to have a congruence. In fact, there are five agencies, I can tell you at this point quickly. The top management, followed by the HR people, followed by the concerned department, the user department who wants the training to be done for their employees, the employee himself who's going for the training, and finally the trainer. These five people have to talk a congruent language, which rarely happens unless and until we got a very strong culture in the company. Right? So make sure, if you're any one of these five, make sure that the remaining four are in line with what you are thinking and talking. Right? So taking it further, training need analysis is essential since the reasons for the failure behind the lack of competency could be other issues like negative organization climate, adverse government policy, innovative strategies of the company, rival or competition, or even natural disasters. The earlier point was focusing on the training being inadequate. And here they are talking about a broader picture. The training would have not served the purpose because the organization itself is negative in its outlook. This happens in most of the organizations. There's a training budget. For the sake of it, they have it. They don't want people to train in the real sense because training involves overall change for everybody. If I am the owner of my company, I am my own company for the matter, and if I want one of my boys to go for training, he comes with a new behavior. It is very nice for me to tell me that you must come with a new behavior, but if I don't align with a new behavior, then my training is my youngster is gone. The top management and the person who's getting trained all have to be congruent. They must learn to absorb the training. So if the organization climate is negative, if they say that training is required only for you, not for me, then there's a problem. Adverse government policies. You conduct training, you do everything, you're a good communicator, but when you go for some things, some policies of the government or something comes in the way. Okay, this happens with people who are interfacing with the such agencies. Or the innovative strategies of the company were not properly spelt out, or the competition had made this thing, or natural disasters. So there could be many reasons, right? So don't pin down and say that it is because of the trainer or the trainee. Many times it happens. First they pin down, then they give them a bad name, then they say training is a waste of money, training is a waste of time. This is absolutely incorrect, because everybody who is in the training, all the agencies who are involved in the training process, have to be accountable. Next point, training needs analysis is a diagnosis by the organization to know what the learning needs of the employees are. It's a diagnosis, underline the word diagnosis. You go to a doctor when you're unwell, he diagnoses you by putting a stethoscope and checking you. So the training needs is like a wake-up call. It checks what are the organization, the employee needs. And that is a very important part of it. It says where we are going wrong, where we are going right, what is healthy, what is unhealthy, what sort of medicine we need to administer. which is training, that's a diagnosis. Right? Next point is, training need analysis is more related to researching and evaluating changes. Training need analysis is more related to researching and evaluating changes in the internal and the external environment of the company for the purpose of improvement in competencies of the employees. We have learned in principles of management, there's an internal climate to the company, there's also an external climate to the company. In internal climate to the company, we have to conduct a strength and weaknesses analysis. External to the company, we have to conduct a opportunities and threats analysis. What is internal to the company, I can control more or less. What is external to the company, I may not be able to control because it's an open system. It's ever changing. Right? So, at the same time, my company has to keep growing and going ahead of the competitors in the same industry. Now, if that has to happen, then I need to do research, evaluate the changes that are coming up. Because if I start telling myself and all my employees what to do, the competition went ahead of us and we never knew this, and my boys do not have the competency to work towards accepting the change and fighting the competitors, then it's of no use. So I must have the visionary, the forecasting skills to know that in the future these changes are going to take place. Do some research on that. And then on the basis of which, internally as well as externally, internally what are the changes that can happen? New management may come. New technology may come. Existing type of products may be maybe obsolete. New products may come in. So many changes will happen. There are changes happening within the company and also outside. Now both these changes demand that you have to raise the skills and the competencies of your employees. Training need analysis is supposed to take care of this function also. Changes may occur due to strategic reasons like modernization, diversification, expansion, profit maximization, waste reduction, accident prevention, etc. I've spoken a little about it indirectly. I talked about mergers and acquisitions. So the company is going for a modernization. From an old technology, is going for a new technology. It is diversifying into a new area of activity. We have learned this in strategic management. It's expanding in capacity. It wants to maximize its profit, reducing the cost and maximizing the profits. It's want to do waste reduction, some Japanese method of waste reduction, perhaps. Accident prevention, there may be many, many things that the company wants to take up. So these changes are something that we need to keep in mind well in advance and incorporate in the training needs. Training in many organizations is not seen as an activity capable of adding value to business results. I saw somebody who wrote somewhere that training will not address absenteeism, training will not address, which was far, far removed from the function of training. Let's be very clear about training. Let's be very clear about training. Don't expect that training is going to change you when you're not willing to change A. And training is not going to address some things which is not related to training directly, where the concerned people who are supposed to address that activity, if they don't address, don't blame it on training. This is something that's coming out very strongly. The reason being, anything remotely connected, not connected with training is also blamed. Because training did not happen well, this is happening. That's incorrect. So this particular second point which I'm reading out, it is not seen by many people as if adding value. I've seen many people literally telling me, what is the thing? I send people for training, I spend so much of money, and they spend some time in a five-star hotel, they got trained, nothing has happened. It's not enough to train people. It's not enough to send people for training. They have to also give them the supporting functions when they come with a new behavior. And that is a responsibility people are not willing to take. Good managements, they tell their people who went for a training, when they come back, give us a debriefing. Tell us what happened. Tell us what will be useful for that you learned in the training program for the company. And they will absorb it. The good managements are doing this. It's a 360 degree absorption of training. The trainee himself goes for the training program, but he goes and imparts it to the company people who are his stakeholders. And so they absorb it. Good cultures do this. But the cultures which are not so good, they'll try to put the blame saying that it doesn't add any value. Even now there are companies who think that training is a cost. Training is not a cost. Training is an investment, and the investment returns will come gradually if you are committed and serious about it. Let me confess, as a trainer, two and a half decades back when I started, I had this queasy feeling that training will not really do much. Even I felt so. But when I started training with a lot of commitment and I met good cultures, very good pharma companies, MNC companies, good engineering companies, I've been training for very good brands. Then I started realizing that they were making me accountable. And we were making the trainees accountable. Everybody was in a 360-degree activity. And it was an ongoing process. That is leading me to believe with my experience that training does have a value. So those of you who think it is not valuable, please think again. Somewhere something is going wrong. That's why you don't see a value. Plug that loophole. Okay? Third point. As a result, whenever there's a cash crunch or a losses in the business, this is what I was about to say, training is seen as an easy option for cost reduction. You must have come across this. Any company which is having a loss, while I'm talking to you, the COVID is still at the fag end, hopefully. And companies have, they say we are going to cut down on people, cut down on things. And the last thing they will ever put out, think of investing, will be in training. I am 100% certain. It's a new regime you're going into. On the contrary, my suggestion is very simple. Since you're going into a new form of working, many companies would like their people to work from home. It's a new environment of working, new culture of working. Now, if you want your employees, your managers to work from home, then you need to give them a training. How to balance the home and work. We talk about work-home balance in the corporate. When we are sitting in the office, we talk about, you know, work balance and all that. But now, people are finding it challenging sitting at home and working. Now, that training is important. You can't say that training need not be given. Now, these are all different paradigms from which certain people are working. They talk to me, some company managers and HR people. They tell me there's no need for training anymore. We are cutting down on cost. Always remember one thing. In the future, training is not a cost. It was seen as a cost ages ago. Today, training is an investment. And investment always gives you ROI, return on investment. It is up to you to determine what returns you are expecting. It is not just tangible top line, bottom line. It is not sales and profits. It is about change in a behavior, which is irreversible behavior, a new behavior, which the person is willing to adopt. That brings about results. And that is the role of everybody, trainer, trainee, top management, HR people, stakeholders, everybody. Last point in this slide, training managers need to ensure the need to develop skills and benefits of doing it, which has to be properly identified and demonstrated. The training managers have to know that this has to be done and the skills have to be properly understood. Only then they can have a buy-in by the people who are critical. Look, because of this training, this person has become like this. That is why he or she is giving output. That dialogue, that communication is not happening in many places as I see it. Right? So, the training managers or the person who's handling the training coordinator, whoever is the person on whom this responsibility comes, he or she has to ensure that this dialogue is told to them. First and foremost, they must believe in the fact that training adds value. That's very important. Because if they don't believe, they just act as, you know, postman, if I can use the word, take some work and just do it and believe in what the top people are saying, then it's a different thing altogether. So here we are. To ensure the best possible returns for the organization, training and development activities, like any investment, have to be targeted. There should be a target, a tangible target. This training should bring about these type of behaviors, which should result in this type of a increase in income, increase in profits or whatever. It should be tangibilized. Training itself is not tangibilized, but the training leads to tangibilization. It should be planned properly and managed. This question always comes up. I mentioned this in the earlier chapter. Behavior B1 is supposed to become behavior B2. B1 is existing behavior. It is to become a better behavior. Better means what? Better in terms of better performance. My behavior gives me a performance P1, which is measurable. With a certain behavior, I will be able to give you, say, 100 units per day. But the company wants me to increase my 100 units into 200 units. With my existing behavior B1, I can't do it. Even if I do it, I'll be stressed out. then the efficiency will come down. So I have to go through a training which converts my behavior B1 to B2, and B1 to B2 takes time. It is not overnight. It's not like the films where things happen overnight in behavior. In reality, behavior changes gradually. So when behavior B1 becomes B2, then you absorb the B2 and you become irreversibly with B2, you remain with you. You get a meaningfulness in being in a new behavior. Then and only then you will find the target being achieved P2. I'll give an example. There's a guy who is pretty stout, fat. He wants to reduce his weight. Now he has got a behavior every day. He gets up very late. He eats all junk food and he indulges in everything. And then he's thinking of reducing his weight by 10 kgs in a year or something. You think it'll happen? No way. Then somebody tells him, "Arey, you can reduce the weight of 10 kgs in 1 month. You have to do this." And they give him a crash program. Get up at so and so time. The guy gets up at say 9 o'clock in the morning. They tell him, get up at 4:30, do this, do that, etc., etc. You think it's possible to do that overnight? How many of you tried it? I'm not against weight reduction. I'm just asking a question on behavior. So this chap who's getting up at 9 o'clock every day, he's forced to get up at 4:30 in the morning. You think he'll have any efficiency? You think he'll be comfortable doing what he's told to do? Never. People talk about willpower and all. Willpower is one part of the game, yes. But the body has got a biology and emotion, and all these things go very gradually. They changes. Only trainers can tell you this. People who are into psychology, they'll tell you this. The body goes through a certain type of a change when your brain is programmed into that. So this guy wants to reduce 10 kgs. He is committed now. He realizes that he is going through problems. So what does he do? He goes through a very gradual change. Underline the word gradual. Instead of getting up at 9 o'clock, he'll put the alarm and he'll get up at 8:45. Gradual changes. 8:45 will become 8:30, like gradually. Then slowly what happens is body will get used to getting up earlier than before. Gradual change for a few days, maintain that. Again, gradual change, again maintain that. Then one fine morning, he'll get up at say whatever time has to be got up. This discipline itself will bring about some changes in his thinking. And then gradually you'll find that he is doing whatever has to be done. He may go for the gym, he may do some diet or blah, 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 whatever. And then finally he'll find that the weight reduction is happening. So nothing happens overnight in terms of changes of behavior. So if anybody is going to tell you that training is humbug, let them say so, because they do not understand behavior. To understand training, you must understand human behavior. Very simple. Particularly behavioral training and learning and development, which we are discussing. Next bullet point is, the purpose of training need analysis is to determine the training and development program required by the organization for its objectives to met. Ultimately, this particular process, this exercise of training need analysis, TNA, is for the purpose of developing a training and development program and a training and development policy for the company. Because we must know the basis on which we are sending people for training every year, every month from different levels. That is where the training need analysis plays a major role. The key elements of an effective training need analysis includes professional trainers like me doing the analysis, using credible data which is credible, not something which is convincing. It should have some basis. It should follow a structured methodology. The approach should be based on scientific principles. That is what it means. Linking training needs with business objectives. Justifying cost to the likely benefits. Gaining the commitment of the top management, involving employees and supervisors, and communicating effectively with all those involved. How many organizations actually do this? You know the answer. Now all this is as committed a job, as committed a profession, as committed set of processes as you're doing other so-called commercial things. In marketing we do that, in production we do that, in finance we do that. But I've seen in many places, this is not given much of this importance in all these steps. Something happens, people go for training, they come back and there is accountability. They try to fix some accountability with somebody. Sorry, it doesn't work. It gives training a bad name and people get cynical about what training is all about. That is absolutely incorrect. Ultimately, it has got something now. The people are getting influenced to change. So there has to be certain type of a space you need to create. Not physical space, it's about a mental space. It's about some commitment and trust and all that. that is should be prepared, then these things happen very well. Right? Continuing further, training need analysis can be a complex job for many training managers. It is a complex job since it involves a lot of detailed data collection. Okay, so before I start a training program, a company calls me, I go and sit with the concerned people, then they give me, everybody gives me different types of inputs. I want my boys to be more efficient, I want my boys to do this. Everybody, HR person will say something, the HOD will say something, the VP will say something. All well-intentioned inputs are given to me. Then I have to ask questions and ensure that what they are saying is what I understood. So I have to prepare notes again, maybe talk to them again. And then we should arrive at a common thing. This can be complex. Some people say something, but they don't mean it. So one should be a good communicator. You should understand when somebody is a certain personality is a certain, when they say something, you must know they mean this. Then when you ask them, when you confront them, then they'll admit, yeah, I meant this. Some people use words whose meaning they do not know. They keep on using it. And people who know the meaning of the word, they'll get a different idea about them. That's the complex part of it. Okay? Many trainers opt out of this activity due to the above reasons. So many trainers say that, look, training need analysis, don't give it to me. You all handle it and just tell me what is to be done. And that's not always correct. Companies tell me that do this training, but I ask them what needs are you doing this? And good companies, they give me a response. Then they know that there's a person who is actually wanting to add value to the company. In the absence of a systematic analysis of needs, it's quite challenging to know which employee already possesses the needed capabilities and which do not possess those capabilities. This actually happens. In one of the training programs for a managerial, for a leadership training, I had some participants, very senior people at the level of AVP and all that, in a construction company, who actually did not need the training, because they are already into that. They were people who were very proactive in that particular need of the training, for which the training was done. And they were just nominated. And others needed it. So now when I went and spoke to the HR person during the sessions, I said, how come these people, they don't need it. No, we need to send them because of the training budget and all that, you know, something unrelated. Then these gentlemen themselves told me, Venkat, do I need to sit? I said, it's up to you and your management. I am not the person who can decide. So we do come across examples where somebody who doesn't need a training is sent there. Because somebody has got a subjective perception about him or her. And when we tell them, they say, no, we know why we are sending them. Okay? So these are all the complexities which we encounter here. The last point is, the training need analysis is usually done by an experienced HR person who understands the complexity of the process. Underline the word experience. There should be a D there. Experienced. Why experience? Because what is experience? The more and more you have an experience, the more and more your human understanding increases. A youngster may be very bright. No offense meant against him or her. Very bright, but they do not have life experience. Every year, every month, when you are dealing with more and more different types of people, your experience in understanding human beings is much better. So you can understand complexities very good. That's the reason we need an experienced HR person.